7. No, he said, filled with abrupt, alert unease. She wants to stay with me, he thought, for the next couple of days. Listen, he said, I'll take you to a motel, one picked at random. He'll never find you. I'll pay for it for 2 nights. Hell, Charlie said. There's that master location meter and control center that processes the name of everyone checked into every motel and hotel in North America. For 2 pops, he can use it just by picking up a phone, Nick said. We'll use a fake name. No, she shook her head. Why not? His unease became greater. He felt all at once as if she were sticking to him like flypaper. He couldn't pry her loose. I don't want to be alone, Charlie said. Because if he does find me in some motel room alone, he'll beat the hell out of me. Nothing like you saw, but really, I have to be with someone. I have to have people who...
I couldn't stop him, Nick said truthfully. Even Zeta, for all his strength, hadn't been able to hold on to Denny for more than a few minutes.
He won't fight with you. It's just that he doesn't want anybody, any third party, to see what he does to me. But... She paused. I shouldn't try to get you involved. It's not fair to you. Suppose a fight broke out at your place, and we were all bursted by the PSS, and they found that tract on you that you got from us. You know the penalty.
I'll throw it away, he said. Now!
He rolled down the window of the squib, reached into his cummerbund for the small book.
So Eric Corden comes second, Charlie said, in a neutral voice, a voice without censure. First comes protecting me from Denny. Isn't that funny? It's really funny!
An individual is more important than theoretical.
You're not hooked yet, sweet. You haven't read Corden. When you do, you'll feel different. Anyhow, I have 2 tracks in my purse, so it wouldn't make any difference.
Throw them away!
No, Charlie said.
Well, he thought, the stuff has hit the fan. She won't give up the pamphlets, and she won't let me leave her off at a motel. What do I do now? Just drive around and around in this damn in-city traffic until I run out of fuel? And there's always the chance that Schellingberg 8 will show up and we'll be finished right then and there. He'll probably ram us and kill us all, unless the alcohol is worn off by now.
I have a wife, he said simply, and a child. I can't do anything that...
You did it. By letting Zeta know that you wanted a tract, you were in it the minute you and Zeta knocked on the door of our apartment.
Before that, even, Nick said, nodding.
It was true.
So fast, he thought. A commitment made in the blink of an eye. But it had been there a long time, building up. The news of Corden's pending murder, and that was what it was, had brought him to a decision. And at that moment, Cleo and Bobby were in danger. On the other hand, the PSS had just now spot-checked him, using Derbyshire as bait, and he and Cleo had passed it. So from the standpoint of statistical probabilities, there wasn't a good chance he'd be investigated soon again. But he could not fool himself. They probably watch Zeta, he thought, and they know about the 2 apartments. They know all there is to know. It's just a question of when they want to make their move. In that case, it really was too late. He might as well go all the way. Have Charlie stay with him and Cleo for a couple of days. The couch in the living room made into a cot. They had had friends stay overnight. But this situation differed sharply from those instances.
You can stay with my wife and me, he said, if you get rid of the tracks you're carrying. You don't have to destroy them. Can't you just drop them off at some place you're familiar with?
Charlie, without answering, picked up one of the pamphlets, turned the pages, then read aloud.
The measure of a man is not his intelligence. It is not how high he rises in the freak establishment. The measure of a man is this. How swiftly can he react to another person's need, and how much of himself can he give? In giving that is true giving, nothing comes back, or at least...
Sure, giving gives you something back, Nick said. You give somebody something, later on he returns a favor by giving you something in return, that's obvious.
That's not giving, that's barter. Listen to this. God tells us...
God is dead, Nick said. They found his carcass in 2019, floating out in space near Alpha.
They found the remains of an organism advanced several thousand times over what we are, Charlie said. And it evidently could create habitable worlds and populate them with living organisms derived from itself, but that doesn't prove it was God.
I think it was God. Charlie said, Can I stay at your place tonight and maybe, if it's necessary and only if it's necessary, maybe tomorrow night? Okay? She glanced up at him, her bright smile bathed in the light of innocence, as if, like a little cat, she were asking for a saucer of milk, nothing more. Don't be afraid of Denny. He won't hurt you. If he beats up anybody, it'll be me. But he's not going to be able to find your apartment. How could he? He doesn't know your name. He doesn't know...
He knows I work for Zeta.
Zeta isn't afraid of him. Zeta could beat him to a pulp.
You contradict yourself, Nick said. Or at least, so it seemed. Perhaps the alcohol was still affecting him.
He wondered when it wore off. An hour? Two?
Anyhow, it appeared that he was flying his squib adequately, at least no PSS Ossifer had flagged him down or grappled onto him with tractor beams.
You're afraid of what your wife will say, Charlie said, if you bring me home. She'll think lots of things.
Well, there's that, he said. And also the law called statutory rape. You're not 21, are you?
I'm 16.
There, you see?
Okay, she said merrily. Land and drop me off.
Do you have any money? He asked.
No.
But you'll manage?
Yes. I can always manage.
She spoke without rancor. She did not seem to blame him for his hesitation. Maybe this sort of thing has happened before between them, he reflected. And others, like myself, have been lured in with the best intentions in mind.
I'll tell you what may happen to you if you take me to your place, Charlie said. You can be bursted for being in the same room with coordinate material. You can be bursted for statutory rape. Your wife, who will also be arrested for being in the same room with coordinate material, will leave you and will never understand or forgive you. And yet, you can't just let me off, even though you don't know me, because I'm a girl and I have nowhere to go to.
Friends, he said. You must have friends you could go to.
Or are they too much afraid of Denny? He wondered.
You're right, he said then. I can't just let you off.
Kidnapping, he thought. I could also be charged with that if Denny felt like calling the PSS. But Denny could not, would not do that, because then, in return, he would be nailed as a peddler of coordinate material. He can't take that chance.
You're a strange little girl, he said to Charlie. In some ways, you're naivete itself, and in other ways, you're tough as a warehouse rat.
Did selling illegal material make her like this, he wondered, or did it happen the other way around? She had grown up hard, toughened, and hence had gravitated to such work. He glanced at her now, sizing up her clothes. She's too well dressed, he thought. Those are expensive garments. Maybe she is greedy. This is a way of earning enough pops to satisfy that greed. For her, clothes. For Denny, the Schellingberg 8. Without this, they would merely be teenagers going to school in jeans and shapeless sweaters. Evil, he thought, in the service of good. Or were Corden's writings good? He had never seen an authentic Corden track before. Now, presumably, he had one and he was free to read it himself and decide. And let her stay if it's good, he wondered. And if it isn't, toss her out to the wolves, to Denny, and the prowl cars with their telepathic unusuals listening constantly?
I am life, the girl said.
What? He said, startled.
To you, I am life. What are you, 38? 40? What have you learned? Have you done anything? Look at me. Look. I'm life. And when you're with me, some of it rubs off on you. You don't feel so old now, do you? With me here in this squib beside you.
Nick said, I'm 34 and I don't feel old. As a matter of fact, sitting here with you makes me feel older, not younger. Nothing is rubbing off.
It will, she said.
You know this from experience, he said, with older men, before me.
Opening her purse, she got out her mirror and cheek stick. She began to stroke elaborate lines from her eyes across her cheekbones to the rim of her jaw.
You use too much makeup, he said.
All right. Call me a two-pop whore.
What?
He asked, staring at her, his attention momentarily turned away from the mid-morning traffic.
Nothing, she said.
She closed up her cheek stick,
placed it and the mirror back in her purse.
"Do you want some alcohol?" she asked. "Danny and I have a lot of contacts for Alk. I might even be able to get you some... what's it called? Oh, yes, scotch."
"Made in some fly-by-night distillery out of God knows what?" Nick said.
She began to laugh, helplessly. She sat, head down, her right hand over her eyes.
"I can picture a distillery flapping through the midnight sky on its way to a new location, where the PSS won't find it."
She continued, laughing, holding onto her head as if the idea of it refused to leave her.
"You can go blind from alcohol," Nick said.
"Smoke. Wood alcohol.
How can you be sure it isn't that?"
"How can you be sure of anything? Denny may catch us any time and kill us, or the PSS may do it. It's just not likely. And you have to go by what's likely, not what's possible. Anything is possible."
She smiled up at him.
"But that's good, don't you see? It means you can always hope. He says that, Corden. I remember that. Corden says it again and again. He really doesn't have much of a message, but I remember that. You and I might fall in love. You might leave your wife and I'd leave Denny, and then he'd go outright insane. He'd go on a drinking binge. And he'd kill all of us and then himself."
She laughed, her light eyes dancing.
"But isn't it great? Don't you see how great it is?"
He didn't.
"You'll see," Charlie said. "Meanwhile, don't talk to me for the next 10 or so minutes. I have to figure out what to tell your wife."
"I'll tell her," Nick said.
"You'd foul it all up. I'll do it."
She squeezed her eyes shut, concentrating. He drove on, then turning in the direction of his apartment.